Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org.
Yeah. Let's go. Come on.
With some much-needed cough medicine for the church.
Come on, bring it on. Come on.
Here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay. Thank you. This is Steve Noble. Alaska, California, Colorado, Massachusetts in July, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, D.C., of course, and Washington State all have legalized recreational use of marijuana. Considering it in 2018 for recreational use are the following states: Vermont, New Jersey, Michigan, Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Ohio. Ohio, of all places, legalizing marijuana, and the polling, record high support for legalizing marijuana. So maybe all of us uptight conservative Christians, maybe it's time for us to get onto the bandwagon. So I thought perhaps we would start our discussion today on the legalization of pot or marijuana. Calling it pot. Is it cool or enlightened or hip to call it pot or marijuana? I mean, what are the kids calling it these days? But this is definitely not just a kids issue. And by the way, it's not just a Democratic liberal issue, because for the first time since Gallup has been taking polls on this, which goes all the way back about 50 years, Republicans, a majority of Republicans now favor legalizing marijuana. So in order to set the stage, I thought I'd play, well, a little tune for us.
I got a thing for marijuana. Surrounds me like a sauna. When I get with you, I wanna tell the world how much I love ya.
I am a cannabis man. Got a joint in each of my hands. Mexican or Panama red. This true love will never end.
Okay, so that is, of course, because I'm sure you have it on your saved songs list on your iPhone, Cheech and Chong's Marijuana music video, which is really, I mean, it's probably going to show up on some spam filter somewhere, some filter somewhere, because it's really raunchy. But I had to find some kind of song just going to set the mood here. I've wanted to talk about this for a while, but I haven't. I wasn't a marijuana smoker when I was younger or middle-aged or older. And I'll just put all my cards on the table. I always thought you guys that smoked pot, lit up a joint, whatever you want to call it, I always thought you were losers. Now, I drank like a fish when I was younger, and even still got drunk after I got saved and was delivered from all of that, praise the Lord. But I always thought people that smoked marijuana were losers. I thought you guys looked like, like you were going nowhere. You've got this malformed cigarette-looking thing, and typically you look a little glazed over and just kind of looked unintelligent and uninformed and unlikely to go anywhere, do anything. That's always what I thought of pot smokers. But apparently over time, that particular moniker or preconceived notion of what marijuana users are, pot smokers, joint smokers, whatever, you Cheech and Chong types, that's apparently gone away. So I'm going to start. I've got all kinds of information here. And then I do want to open up the phones, and I want to ask you what you think about legalizing marijuana. Are we to the point now? Because the polling is all going positive. And interestingly enough, this is exactly what happened with same-sex marriage. And actually, these things can be tied together in some interesting ways as America continues what I would consider a free fall into the moral abyss. But what do you think about legalizing marijuana? And I'm not going to beat you. I never beat people up on this show. If you want to hear that, tune into Sean Hannity or something. But I don't do that. My witness as a follower of Jesus Christ is way more important than my ability to beat you up in a debate or an argument. So if you're for legalizing it, I would like to hear your opinion and why you are. And if you think it's like not that big of a deal, whatever your thinking is behind it, I would like to hear from you today. As a Christian, do you think it's conduct unbecoming? Do you know, and I'm asking you directly, do you know, and maybe you're one of them, do you know any born-again Christians that also have the occasional reefer? Is that a word we still use? I don't know. And so what do you think about legalizing marijuana? I want you to call in and share your opinion and or your experience. It could be, hey, Steve, I've done it for years. No big deal. Helps me relax. I'm not going to talk about medical marijuana use today. That's a different topic, so we're not going to go there. But if you've been down that road, or perhaps you have a loved one or a friend or a family member or a spouse or a son or a daughter that's struggling and you have a testimony, a story about it, I think it's important that we hear those. So today, that's I'm opening up the phones all hour to allow you the opportunity to chime in on legalizing recreational marijuana use. 866-348-7884 is our number. The easier way, I think, is just 866-34-TRUTH. And I want you to call in and share your thoughts, your feelings on legalizing marijuana from whatever perspective you want to come at it from. 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number. Going to keep the phones open all hour. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just go to this. This is really interesting to see what's happened over time. This is Gallup, so record high support for legalizing marijuana use in the U.S. Americans continue to warm to legalizing marijuana with 64%. They talked to over 1,000 adults, 18 and over, in all 50 states in this particular poll. 64% now saying it should be made legal. While still illegal at the federal level, which is an interesting conundrum, the issue was featured on a number of state ballot initiatives in 2016, and with 8 states and the District of Columbia having fully legalized marijuana, more than 1 in 5 Americans now live in a state where they can legally enjoy use of the drug. Gallup first asked national adults about their views on the topic in 1969, when only 12% supported legalization. Support had more than doubled by the end of the next decade, but changed little throughout the 1980s and the 1990s. By 2001, however, about a third of Americans favored legalizing marijuana, and support has steadily increased since. A majority of Americans have consistently supported legalizing marijuana since 2013. Now, this is really interesting. Check this out. The trajectory of Americans' views on marijuana legalization is similar to that of their views on same-sex marriage over the past couple of decades. On both issues, about a quarter supported legalization in the late 1990s, and today, 64% favor each. Over the past several years, Gallup has found that Americans have become more liberal on a variety of social issues. We know that. And check this out. Democrats and independents have historically been much more likely than Republicans to say it should be legalized. But this year, for the first time, congratulations, Republicans, a majority of Republicans expressed support for legalizing marijuana. The current 51% is up 9 percentage points from just last year. 866-34-TRUTH. How do you feel about legalizing pot? We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Called to Action Radio, talking about marijuana use, smoking marijuana, which I gave you the list. Current states that now have legalized recreational use: Alaska, California, Colorado, Massachusetts. Massachusetts is this July. Nevada, Oregon, Washington, D.C., Washington State. Most of those on the West Coast, no shock. But Massachusetts, that's interesting, coming up in July. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, has legalized the recreational use of marijuana. The same place where their license plates say taxation without representation. Holy moly. This country's in big trouble. What do you think of legalizing marijuana? 866-34-TRUTH is the number for you to call in. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to get to our phones right now because I don't want to keep you holding any longer than necessary. Susan, Happy New Year. Thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. The question is, and I don't have the answer for this, but maybe you can ask the listeners. We have drug tests. I mean, we have caught drinking and driving. How can we determine, how can I say this? What we need is some more buzz drivers out there, right? So how can we test anybody who's buzzing?
Well, yeah, that's a big part of the issue. And Susan, thanks so much for calling in. I would keep you on here longer, but we've got a pretty bad cell connection. But that's a good question. I mean, we're all worried about drinking and driving, right? So we make that a big issue, as we should. But people that are smoking pot are going to have the same problems. When I get to some of these impacts of marijuana use, I mean, it's all okay. Here's the list. Overactivates part of the brain that contains the highest number of these receptors, THC-like chemicals. And so here's what happens. Altered senses, Altered sense of time, changes in mood, impaired body movement, difficulty with thinking and problem solving, impaired memory, hallucinations, delusions, and psychosis. That can all happen in the short term with marijuana use. All of which is, shall we say, unproductive when it comes to driving. So, yeah, that's a huge issue. There's all kinds of issues that are flowing out of the legalization of marijuana. 866-34-TRUTH. If you want to share a story, your opinion, do you think we should legalize it? Should we just go along with the flow for the first time in American history? A majority, just 51%, but it's a majority of Republicans are now down with it. Hey, let's just go ahead and legalize recreational marijuana use. No big deal. 64% of Americans nationwide think it should be legal. Interestingly enough, 64% of Americans nationwide think that gay marriage should be legal, and of course it is. So we are on a definite track here to see recreational marijuana use legalized all across the country. Again, the states that are considering it this year, Vermont, New Jersey, Michigan, Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Ohio, all considering the recreational use of marijuana. Let's go to Denise, who's calling in from Raleigh. You're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you? Happy New Year.
Same to you, and thank you. As a Christian, I've struggled with that because, of course, you know, you have, that it's grown out of the ground and stuff like that. But I began to reason within my own self, and then it hit me one day to ask God. Now, I understand why the world thinks it's okay, you know, because it's a relief. Like you admitted that you drank for a while, and I'm sure you went to it for other reasons besides, you know, for
sure,
relief of some sort, you
sure
know, and that's what weed smokers do. I've never been a weed smoker, but I have smoked weed to find out it's really not for me. But I understand why they want to do it. So one day I just wisely asked God, I said, Father, is it okay? And he dropped the answer in my spirit. Now, me talking to a fellow Christian, you are ready for the answer and you understand. But when we're talking to the world, they don't get that. You know, as the Bible is very clear, only spiritual, those who are born again with the Spirit of God can understand spiritual matter. And this is a spiritual matter to understand. And I don't know if scientists, because evidently the scientists are for it, therefore you have legalization. However, I will share what the Holy Spirit told me, and for those who are struggling with it as Christians, maybe it'll help. And it was very simple. God talks to me like what I am, a child. He said, smoking weed and anything that alters your, you know, alters you, like with alcohol, the Holy Spirit put in my spirit, it is as though you take a two-year-old and drop them in the middle of New York City. That's what happens to your mind. Now, just picture a two-year-old walking around all by themselves. And that's what your mind is doing in the spiritual world. You're 2 years old, you don't know what you're doing, and you are mentally walking around in the spirit, and any spirit can just guide you and walk you around and influence you. That's why you do things under the spirit of alcohol and drugs that you wouldn't normally do, because now you're like a young child, and you don't have any control.
That's exactly right. And that's a great point, and I appreciate you calling in and making that point, and praise the Lord that he showed you that. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. And you go, okay, well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Remember that? Anybody, raise your hand if you remember the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Self-control. Oh, that's right. That's just one. I'm just picking one, okay? Self-control. So when the scriptures clearly call us to a life of self-control, the ability to control one's urges and to have discipline, self-discipline, anything you use that starts to impede your ability to exercise the spiritual fruit of self-control is a biblical problem, obviously. And God has put all kinds of things on this earth, but what do we do? And what does Satan do? He takes what God has put in and then he twists it. He abuses it. That's why we have sexual sin, sexual temptation, homosexuality, bestiality, transgenderism, you name it, all that stuff. And so that is for Christians and non-Christians, it's kind of two different issues. But for Christians, certainly the issue of self-control should be there. And then, of course, sometimes we say, well, if it's not legal, you can't do it. It's not legal. You say that to your kids. But what if it is legal? What do you do then? 866-34-TRUTH, just engaging you today on the topic of legalizing marijuana. 866-34-TRUTH. And let me jump over to Conrad, who's calling in from Gastonia down there near Charlotte in North Carolina. Conrad, thanks for calling in. Happy New Year. Go ahead.
I agree with the previous caller, and I would like to add that I'm 74 years old, and years ago I went to a drive-in with my family, my brothers, watched a movie called The Man with a Golden Arm. It was Frank Sinatra. He started to shoot up, and it was a memorable movie that I went to. And my older brother said, Conrad, never do any kind of drugs. And I agree. That have stuck with me today.
Yeah.
And usually if you're born in a family and your older brothers and sisters tell you or talk with you and tell you you shouldn't do this or that, they've been very helpful in my growing up.
Yeah.
I was in Vietnam and a sandwich bag of pot costs $1 on the street. Wow. I would not use it, and I would refuse it. But anyway, I just wanted to share that story.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Conrad. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and that experience. If you want to talk about it, and I hope you do, you should, legalizing marijuana in the United States. And if you have a personal story, maybe of destruction in your own life or somebody else's life, or maybe you think it's no big deal, I won't eat you alive when you call in here if we disagree. Don't worry about that. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Great to be with you today back on the radio. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, which is kind of fun while you were on the radio, which we love every one of our affiliates, especially Truth Radio here in North Carolina, because that's how we get on the air in the first place and how it all started. For me, anyway, back in 2007, I love Stu Epperson Jr. and the whole Truth Radio team in North Carolina. They've enabled so much, and I just praise God for you guys. But we love our radio audience, but you listen to commercials, and while you're listening to commercials, now, this could go one way or the other. People on Facebook Live are still listening to me. And you might say, well, Steve, you know, I need a commercial break when I listen to your show. Okay, I get it. But if you'd rather stay engaged during the commercials, then you can join us on Facebook Live and we continue to talk. And I interact especially with your comments on Facebook Live, which is great. And there's always great comments there and great commentary going back and forth. So you can join us on Facebook Live 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday through Friday, because not every station that carries the show carries it live. But if you listen to it later, like tonight down there in Jacksonville, Florida, on a Truth Radio station down there, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number two, the letter A. It's just short for call to action. facebook.com/C2A Radio, and you'll join us via Facebook Live. And we have a lot of fun. It's a really neat experience and community that God is building there. On Facebook, believe it or not. But your calls today on the issue of legalizing marijuana, 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number for you to call in and share. Never be afraid to call in here. I will not bite your head off. I will always try to treat you with decency and respect and grace and patience, and I hope that goes two ways for us. 866-34-TRUTH, if you want to share your thoughts, your stories about marijuana use and legalizing marijuana use. Let's go to Nancy, who's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Nancy, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, Nancy J.R. Wells, and I am a Christian, but any of the comments I make right now have nothing to do with the way that would be influenced by being a Christian for some of those who are not of that same leading. People who need marijuana in order to have pleasure evidently are sick in another way and need another kind of health, because certainly marijuana is going to detract from anything they can do that's going to be or will get help everything that is destructive for them, for their families. And as the woman said earlier about the people who have had too much marijuana on the road and killing other people were the primary problem with it. So we need to do some kind of help for them with that. I've been robbed approximately 17 times here in Greensboro, man. Seven of which were caused by people who robbed because they needed money for marijuana. Yeah. I don't think that means we should give them marijuana here easily at a less cost. It means that we need to help them get jobs and get straight so that they won't be out robbing other people to help with their habit. As far as with the families, what kind of help are they doing, giving their families, their children especially, when their parents are out there robbing people, setting an example for the children to use marijuana itself? And the last thing would be those who do not involve themselves with marijuana, they are still responsible as taxpayers, those who are actually paying taxes, to contribute to the medical costs that it takes to give care to these people who have themselves chosen to be involved in it. And I don't want to pay taxes for that. I'd rather be able to help those who really need help, not those who are asking for trouble and for help. So thank you so much. And I'm Nancy Wells. I met Epperson years ago when I was with the Morton.
Oh, yeah, cool. Excellent.
And really appreciate everything there. So. Thank
Amen.
You so much for hearing me.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Nancy. Some great points. I appreciate you doing that. Let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Charlotte. And if you want to follow up, if you want to share a story, I mean, I have several friends on Facebook Live that have talked about their friends that have lives have been devastated by it. Catherine on Facebook Live was saying, hey, you know, one of their friends that got involved with it drove their business, the family business, into the ground. So it's for some people, this is very personal. And maybe if you want to call, you can be an anonymous person if you want to call in and say, hey, listen, I use it. I'm a Christian. I don't think it's a big deal. I do what I want or whatever your reasoning is. I mean, I'll give you time to share that on the air. We'll talk about it. I'm not going to bite your head off. But any reaction you want to have, any opinion you want to throw in there, should we be legalizing marijuana across the country? Because now 64% of your fellow Americans say, yeah, we should legalize it for recreational use. 866-34-TRUTH. Is our number 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Charlotte. Chris, are you there? I think I lost him. Hey, Howard, why don't you talk to Chris, see if he's still there. I can't tell. It looks like he is. But if you want to call in and chime in about legalizing marijuana, 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. Now, this is an article that was in USA Today on December 28th, okay? So, and this is kind of indicative of where we're at. Okay, this just go along with me on how this article is. Because the title of the article, written by Trevor Hughes, What California's Legalization of Marijuana Means for You. And then there's a bunch of questions here, and he gives an answer. How old do I have to be? And do I have to be a California resident? Well, anyone 21 and older can buy and consume marijuana when you're in California, regardless of whether you're a resident of the state or just visiting. How much can I buy? You'll be able to buy up to 1 ounce of marijuana from a licensed store for personal use. The law limits you to possessing 1 ounce at a time, which means you can only buy more if you use it up or give it away. Regular people aren't allowed to sell pot, although they can give it away. The law allows people to grow up to 6 plants worth of marijuana at a time for personal use. So, well, that's good news. Is this going to be like my college experience? And this is an issue, so listen to the answer. This guy isn't exactly anti-marijuana. Probably not. It's not going to be like your college experience. Today's marijuana is far more potent than the cannabis grown decades ago and infused edibles like candy, food that's got marijuana, hash, oil, wax, and dabs. I don't know what most of that is. Allow you to consume far more than if you were just smoking a joint, as if that's good news. Where can I consume it? Not a lot of places. California has strict anti-tobacco laws. That's so funny. I hope you get the humor there. Wait, isn't it still an entirely illegal at the federal level? Yep. Federal agents could prosecute anyone they catch with pot bought in one of these recreational stores. But it's California, which is now a sanctuary state, and they don't give a rip about federal law. So you probably don't need to worry about it out there. Can I take it home? Nope. Airport, meaning if you're from out of state. Airport TSA agents are generally not looking for drugs in your bags, but if they find any marijuana, they can call the local police, who could arrest you for possession since airports are covered by federal rules. Although, this is good to note, in legal states, airports provide trash cans before security and post reminders not to fly with marijuana. Huh, it's convenient. Where are my taxes going? This is if you live in California. The state is levying a 15% tax on marijuana. I love making money on other people's sin. It's awesome. Good job. Collected by the distribution companies, cities and towns can also add their own taxes on top of that. What are the odds that that will happen? That would be 100%. How will this change the price for black market cannabis elsewhere? This is a good question. Unclear, says this USA Today writer. An estimate by cannabis data firm Greenwave Advisors suggests that half of the marijuana grown in California is illegally sold elsewhere. Hello. Is that a problem? Anyone? 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 Okay, I'm going to go to somebody who's remaining anonymous, which I appreciate, calling in from my state somewhere in North Carolina. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead and share. I'm with you.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Got a little bit nervous, but, you know, just to be honest. I'm an adult, you know, about 50, and I've been clean for about a year or a little over a year and a half. And I just wanted to share just my personal story and reflection on, you know, marijuana or alcohol in general, just substances that alter your mind in general. I think what people, you know, sometimes forget is that the picture is painted very rosy, and that, oh, you're going to have this great experience with it. But it leads you down a path of destruction where you have no, you become isolated from not only your family, but any type of relationship that you might have with God. You know, I am a Christian, but during my period of time when I used substances, it was all about me individually. It wasn't about, you know, my health. It wasn't about, you know, being active with my kids and my family, being active in the church. It just becomes a very destructive thing. And folks that say that it's not something that's addictive and can lead you down a very bad, lonely path, I think are being just very shallow. I'm thankful that, you know, I have now have a sobriety and I have a relationship with my family, and they, you know, put them through way too much mess for them to still be with me. But the one thing I can say, I was, you know, when I felt like I was away from God, it wasn't God being away from me. It was me not coming to him. Yeah. And it took a moment of getting really on my knees and being earnest and being honest in my prayer, saying, you know, Lord, this is not the life I want to lead. And this is not the life that I want anyone else to lead either. And my fear is that if, marijuana is legalized, whether it's in North Carolina or other states or in the country, we're going to see an epidemic of just lost souls in general. Because I don't believe it's something that can bring any type of fruit of the spirit, any type of value in general. So,
well, that's
just my thought.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. I just praise the Lord for when people like you call in and share these personal stories. It's so important. It's so helpful for the rest of us. God bless you, brother. You did a great job. And I just praise God that you're clean and sober now. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
You too. We'll talk to you later. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. More of your calls when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about... Well, here we are in the minority again. By the way, if you think that as a Christian, if you're, I'm not saying a real Christian, because 76 was just talking to our Facebook Live friends, facebook.com/C2A radio, 76, about 76% of Americans will still tell you on the street, yeah, I'm a Christian, but only about 10 to 15% have a clue what the gospel is, are actually born again and can talk about that. Most people will say, God bless you. But very few people talk about Jesus. And usually that's a pretty easy tell between a cultural Christian and an actual Christian. Is, do you talk about Jesus, your Lord and Savior, personally? Or do you just talk about God in general, like God bless you if somebody sneezes? Or, hey, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We're all created by God. We all bear the image, the Imago Dei. We all have his image. We're not all his children. Only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ is given the name Child of God. And so we have this whole culture that 76% says, hey, I'm a Christian. They're not. Maybe 20% of that group actually knows the gospel, is actually born again. And so if you think you're a majority as a Christian in America, you're not. If you're a born-again Christian, if you're a biblical Christian, you're not. You're a minority. Actually, some studies I've looked at it show it like 8-9%. Which would make us a smaller minority than even African-Americans at 11 or 12% of the population. Born-again Christians might just be 9% of the population. So if you think you're in the majority and you're born again, you're not. And as we discuss today's topic, this legalization of marijuana, which is now legal, in Alaska, California, Colorado, Massachusetts is coming this July. Nevada, Oregon, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Oh, the irony. And Washington State. And then considering it for recreational use this year, Vermont, New Jersey, Michigan, Delaware, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Ohio. And you have a problem with this. 64% of your fellow citizens say, I think it should be legal. So once again, we find ourselves in the minority. And I don't care about that. I used to. I don't give a rip anymore. I could use the moniker God plus me plus God equals a majority. And of course, that's true. But I don't even need to include myself in there. Biblical truth is truth, period. And to be outside of the truth, to be out of touch with reality, is the very definition of insanity. And that's why the country is looking and acting insane, because it is, because it is not accepting truth. It's outside of truth. It's rejected reality, which makes it insane. And I think on this particular issue of legalizing marijuana, that's a clear-cut case. Let's go to Nathan, who's calling in from North Carolina. Nathan, sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Happy New Year. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
I appreciate you taking my call, bud.
Of course.
I've listened to both sides of this argument. Now, me, myself, I'm 54, and I used smoked weed for a long time. I wasted a lot of my youth on it, probably from the age of 12 into my 20s.
Wow.
And I hear people talk about how it's not addictive like, you know, cocaine or other drugs. And maybe in the same context, maybe it's not physically addictive. Maybe. I think it depends on your personality. But what it takes from you first is your money. Then it takes your ambition. You don't want to do anything when you're taking smoking pot. People say, well, it just makes you funny and hungry and sleepy. And all those are true. But unfortunately, a lot of those are happening while you should be doing something with your life. And where it comes to God, I found myself in a place in my 20s where, like a lot of people, I started with weed and got into a lot worse things. Fortunately, it was never needles or anything, but you know it was still very bad. And the Lord, you know, I've always believed in God, and I was what I would have called a Christian at that time by my faith, by what I believed, but not by my actions. And God simply put in me, the Lord told me, this is not what I made you for, and literally, in an instant, he took my desire for all of these drugs away. And when I listen to the people talk about, well, we spend billions of dollars trying to stop it, it's not working. We spend billions of dollars in the courts prosecuting people for these petty crimes, and, you know, it's not stopping anything. So the smartest thing we could do would be to legalize it so that we eliminate that black market and actually tax it, and we're actually going to make money off of it. Understand, the devil is not called the great deceiver for nothing. It starts here. Well, actually, it started with other things like, you know, gay marriage and things like that. This is only going to be the beginning.
Yeah.
And I believe it'll pass. I believe that it'll pass, even though it's against federal law. And you know, when this all started during the Obama administration, they decided to ignore to selectively prosecute laws. And I frankly, if I'd have been the president, I'd have called the governor of Colorado and said, the first time you guys put this to the paper, make this legal.
Yeah.
We're going to drop federal agents on you to enforce our law. But here's what we do about it, and it's very simple. First off, we always keep our thoughts and our prayers up above. And secondly, look at the people you're electing. We ask questions about, you know, their thoughts and their voting records and other things. Find people who don't agree with this. Somewhere there's got to be some Christians who actually will stand up for their beliefs in elected office and say, No, I'm not going to go for this. You know, I'm not going to help you sign this into law and help tear down this country. You know, we're not allowed to have prayer in the vast majority of the country, but I could drive up there and pick up, you know, my kids if they were too young or somebody and have an ounce of weed in my glove box, and right. It's okay.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
You know, it's just, we have very few options, and you really nailed it on the head when you said, we're the minority. And, you know, we have to stand up and make our voices heard. And I think the number one way to do that, other than sharing the gospel for those who are willing to listen, not shoving it down anybody's throat, but other than that, we have to do it. Our beliefs have to be enforced in the voting booth when we're all by ourselves, just us, God, and our conscience. But we have to do the research and find out, is this something this person is just saying, or have they taken a stand on this and say, no, I don't want drugs in my state, or I don't want drugs in my county, or whatever the case may be. We have dry counties. I'm assuming we still have dry counties in the country where alcohol can't be sold or can't be sold on certain days.
Yeah.
So I've got to believe there's somebody out there somewhere who realizes this is not what God made us for.
Right.
This is something that grows, that can grow wild. It's not like it's been manufactured necessarily, although it has been altered. That doesn't make it good. I mean, poison ivy is also something that grows.
Right. Somebody said that earlier on Facebook Live, yeah. Nathan. They were like, hey, God made all the plants, and so shouldn't humans have access to them? I'm like, hey, there are some plants that kill you. So what?
Well, he gave us common sense.
Yeah. Hello, thank you.
You know, being high on weed or raised up on cocaine or drunk on alcohol, the Bible talks about intoxicating yourself.
That's right.
And I've heard non-Christians say, well, the Lord drank wine. I'm like, I don't believe it was fermented. I think we're pretty much probably, in my opinion, talking about grape juice.
Yeah.
The Lord is not going to sit and drink alcohol.
Nathan, thanks for calling. You made some great points, really powerful argument. I appreciate you sharing and being so forthright with us.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
You too. God bless you. And that's right. I mean, there's so many different roads you can go down here. And on the voting thing, now listen, here's the deal. From all the research, I'm continually reading and looking at stuff. And this, a lot of things that are in my head, statistics have gotten in there over the years. And one on the voting side of it. And again, if you think only in terms of marijuana use for yourself, then I would challenge you to think in terms of the great commandments, the top two when Jesus was asked. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So whatever God says is bad for people and unloving, you should want that for everyone. And so whereas I don't have a problem with pot smoking, neighbors do, other people do, and I should care about them as if we were talking about me personally. So that's where voting comes in. Most of the statistics on Christians, I'm using air quotes, in America, only 50% are even registered to vote. Only 25% self-identified Christians vote in a presidential election. Only 12% vote in an off-year election, which is what we're into now this year in 2018. And only 5% vote in a primary. So 95% of so-called Christians don't bother to show up at a primary. 88% won't bother to show up this fall in an off-year election. 75% won't bother to show up and vote during a presidential election. And 50% of Christians, so-called Christians, won't even bother to register. And so you get exactly what you were unwilling to pay for. And I think that's a violation of neighbor love. Now, I haven't found a pastor yet. I don't have a ton of pastors on the show, but over the years I've had a fair amount that would be willing to come on the air and say, yes, as a pastor and teacher of God's word, I believe it is a sin for a born-again Christian in America to not vote. Usually they'll kind of rumble around and talk about conscience and blah, 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 blah. I think it's absolutely a violation of neighbor love. If my government, federal, state, local, is doing things that implement or promote ungodliness and sin, and my neighbor is affected by that, and all 330 million of your neighbors are affected by the laws, and you don't give a rip who it's affecting, even if it's two men that think it's perfectly fine to engage in homosexual activity and have a quote-unquote marriage, they're violating God's law or anybody else in a certain sin situation. I'm not going to just mark off homosexuality here. Anybody. I'm talking about abortion. 60 million dead babies since 1973 butchered by opportunists. And you don't vote? You don't get involved with that? 60 million of your neighbors have been murdered in the womb. And you think God's actually going to sit there and go, yeah, you get a pass on that. You know, because you didn't do it. You weren't the abortionist. You didn't hire the abortionist. So you're fine. It doesn't matter that all these other people engaged in the murder of 60 million people. You sat on the sidelines taking care of yourself, and that's fine. You really think God takes that position? Of course he doesn't. I will always stand by firmly that if you don't vote, you're in sin because you're not loving your neighbor. But I guess I'll stand as another minority on that one. I love you guys. Have a great and godly weekend. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.